Thinking about self-publishing and don't know where to start? Join the Spa Girls each week for a fun-filled podcast with honest advice, tips, and resources. I'm Trudy J.
Eric.
And I'm Cheryl Phipps.
And I'm Wendy Bella.
Hello. And this week we have an awesome guest. I'm super excited to welcome Lisa Vino. Hello.
Yay. Welcome, Lee.
Yay.
We're so excited to have you here, and we're going to talk about the millionaire author mindset, which I'm all about. So yay, bring on the millions.
Woohoo!
Yes. And she's going to ask, first of all, I'm going to do the bio, and then she's going to set in with the questions. So just in case you don't know who Lee is.
Actually, but then
that's okay.
Oh, sorry.
Okay,
yeah,
that's okay.
You go, girl.
Just carry on with bio. Your
bio. Yeah, I'll just pretend you're Wendy and you're Cher.
Wing you.
As long as someone's organised, as long as someone knows what's happening.
Yeah, clearly it's not you.
Yeah, it's not me at all. You're so mean to me, Lee. Oh my god. Okay, bio. USA Today best-selling author of more than 69 smexy dark romance, paranormal romance, and alien romance novels, Lee Savino has grandiose goals, but mostly I can't say goals after that, but most days can't find her wallet or her keys, so she just stays at home and writes. It's awesome.
Yeah.
She studied creative writing at Hollands University, where her first manuscript won the Hollands Fiction Prize. She runs the awesome Millionaire Author Mindset Facebook group for authors who are serious about making money from their books and want a positive environment to talk about sales and marketing tactics, which is awesome. You should all go and join it right now. And she's also a mum and a chocoholic.
Yay!
Yay.
Yes.
Yep. I have my chocolate right here.
Yeah. So let's start with you telling us a little bit about your journey, your writing journey, how you got into self-publishing, stuff like that, Lee.
Yeah, so I'm glad we're talking about mindset, because it really was all about mindset. I was always telling stories. My parents told me I had to go to college. They told my siblings, you have to get a degree. We didn't get degrees. They met at Bible college and they dropped out to get married, which is apparently what you did in Bible college. Because the men and women were like quarantined from each other.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that didn't work out. But here I am. That's good. And I did go to college for creative writing and English and wrote a book. And it had werewolves in it. So I was on the right path. And then leaving college, I didn't know what to do. And it was really all about mindset and what you think is possible, because I didn't know. I kind of bumbled into being told you write well, you could study writing. Oh, Hollands is a great school for English and creative writing. Oh, okay, I have to go to college. But then I was told I had to get a job. So I quit writing. I gave up, even though I had manuscripts on my computer, my desktop, that I was writing, and I was a writer. And I bumbled around thinking that I had to get a job and there was no way I could be a writer, which is pretty sad. It's interesting, because if I had just believed that it was possible to be a writer, it was 2008, guys. I would have stumbled on Smashwords and publishing, and it would have been possible. Yeah. Mm. And guess what? You never have to say no to your dreams, even if your dream is to be on stage in front of millions of people. Well, get yourself on stage in front of one person. Like, you don't have to give up, especially writing. You can come home from your job, even if you just want to pay your bills somehow, and like type out your stories on the weekend. Yeah. I don't know why I like slammed the door down so much, but I'm really grateful that I had a change in mindset. And on my 30th birthday, I thought to myself, are you going to pursue this dream, or are you going to wait till you're 80? And be Grandma Moses? And that's really what I told myself. Like, you can do it now, before you have kids and responsibilities, you're single, like, go just do it. And it kind of just opened the door again. And I immediately uploaded some books and self-published. Like, as soon as you join Facebook and you join a few author groups, people are talking about self-publishing. People are talking about different ways to be published. And you just follow those streams and see where you end up. Was I successful at first? Absolutely not. I made like $50, but I was so happy because I was a writer and I had fulfilled my dream. And then from then on, yes, I figured out how to start self-publishing. And then I started looking around. I was in a community and I was on listening to podcasts like this. And I was like, oh, there are people who actually make a living at this. Okay. And then set another goal and then decided, even though I didn't even think it was possible for me to be a writer, definitely didn't think it was possible for me to make a living. And then suddenly I'm like, well, I'm going to make six figures because other people are, and I can figure this out. And then I did. And I was like, and I had never made any amount of money like before at a job. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, well, I'm already happy. I'm already living my dream here. And then what else is possible? And what else is possible? And then set a goal to make $1 million a year. And I did last year. So it's just,
wow. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It is, but like, it goes back to, I slammed the door shut and then I just let it slide open again and walked through it. And did it happen overnight? No, but it's been amazing because once I stopped saying no to myself, it felt great. It felt like, oh, I'm moving towards my dream. I'm doing something that I've always wanted to do that I didn't even know it was possible, but I'm figuring out that it is possible. And, you know, it really comes down to the way our brains work. And if you say there's no tuna fish in my pantry, your brain could be staring, you could be staring at cans of tuna fish in front of you and your brain, you don't see them. Your brain's like, nope, she said they weren't in here. So they're not, or you don't even open the pantry door and look.
Yeah.
So some people say mindset can be a little woo woo. And I definitely love to talk in terms of like woo woo and abundance and stuff like that. But it really comes down to the way our brain works, where if you're told there's a river that way, not only, you know, do you start to pay attention and hear and see it, but if you go that way and you start getting closer, you can smell it. Yeah. And then when you see it, your brain gets dopamine hits and you actually start walking faster towards the goal. So think about that in your own life and your own little goals. And what if you just told yourself it might be possible and start looking for people who are doing it? Maybe you don't really believe that you're good enough. And I think we all deal with, I'm not good enough. Or is my book good enough? Is this first paragraph of this book? Does it suck? It probably does. Oh my God. We all deal with that at any level. Michael Connelly, I'm rereading his mysteries and I love his work. He deals with that. Like everybody deals with that. But if you can just tell yourself it's possible and someone else is doing it and then take these little baby steps, you'll actually be happy even just starting out. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's my journey.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Brilliant.
So is all of that what you mean by author mindset, like actually visualizing possibility or just opening that door? Like we can hear your journey and you the passion that comes through in your voice. I mean, it's right there. But for other people that perhaps, you know, haven't tried it yet, haven't gone down that path, where do they start?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they've already started because they're listening to this. And when we get around other people who are doing the things that we hope is possible, we're not sure yet. We're trying to figure it out. For example, I'm trying to exercise more and I'm not going to be a runner. But I'm trying to get into yoga. So what did I do? I looked up a yoga studio. I, you know, found a friend and bought the same yoga clothes that she got and I've signed up for a lesson. So I'm getting myself into the culture. I know all this work to just move my butt more, but, but I did this back in 2015 when I was like, I'm going to be an author. I don't know how, but I'm on my computer and I joined some Facebook groups. I, you know, listened to a podcast. And so if you're surrounding yourself with people who are doing what you want to do, then you start to believe you can start to believe you can do it too. Before you even get there, you just start to see it's possible and the doors open. And you might not believe that you can make $1 million a year, but you can believe that you can upload your book to Amazon. And then you can listen to some of your last podcasts on using psychology to plot your characters. I was just looking at your list and all these really good things. And you start to take notes on that. And maybe you can't apply all of it, but you apply one thing. And so I'm a big believer in finding ways to change painlessly and to change it all. It's actually not totally easy to change. You have to change your identity and your belief in yourself and who you are. It all comes down to mindset. I can talk about tactics all day long. I can talk about uploading your books and running ads and getting a mailing list. I'm a big believer in like get a mailing list. But if you don't think that you deserve one and you're scared and you're not sure what you can say, you might not even set it up.
Yeah.
Or you might go, well, maybe it's possible. And then you listen to a podcast by the Spa Girls on what to talk about on your mailing list with all your readers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I can be that gregarious in an email form, but I can say these things and I could send that one email. It starts with one. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a habit chain because you did it once.
Yeah.
And then you do it a little bit more, just like me doing like 10, like 1 minute of yoga. I do like 10 minutes of yoga. I'm like, that was like an hour, wasn't it? So I hired a teacher. She's going to make me do the hour. We'll see how it goes.
No, I think that's an important point. It's the one step. And I think for a lot of us, we get hung up. We see the millionaire author and we're at the zero author end of the scale. And it just seems such a giant leap from there to there. So and therefore it sort of seems an impossible mindset, if you like, to fit on. So how would you, like, I think it's a small step thing. And also probably too, the positive voices around you as well. And thanks to social media, we've got plenty of negative, but we've also got places like your group that are positive. And I think that's important as well, isn't it? How would you say somebody that wants to, like, they don't know where to start, like, is it a small step thing?
Yeah. So like I said, the small step should be listening to this podcast, seeing these positive, you know, you guys are writing, you're doing it and you're figuring it out because you're always figuring out. You make $1 million a year, you're still going to be figuring it out. You know, you're still going to get frustrated when your 4-year-old doesn't know where to find her shoes or whatever. Like, life is still going to happen. It's going to be, you're still you. It's just incredible amount of money has happened in your life and you're kind of going, what? I was amazed that it was possible to even publish. So like my awe came at like the first day when I just uploaded things and realized it was live and went, I've done something that I told myself it was impossible to do. And I gave up on myself for years and now I've done it. And from then I just think there's an incredible amount of gratitude. So, shifting your mindset, getting around the people who are doing what you want to do. So you believe, so you're just surrounded by it. Your brain actually naturally wants to fit in with a tribe. So your brain wants to keep you alive. And if it thinks that you conforming with this tribe will keep you alive, and it does because of just primal evolution. If you left the tribe, you died. Well, guess what? You have Facebook. You can join any tribe you want. So join the positive tribes, the authors who are doing it, the authors who are successful, and just study what they're doing. Pay attention. I used to go on Amazon and I'm a big reader. So I just read the top people and then I could get on their mailing list and start. How do you think I learned how to write a mailing list? I got on people's mailing list and I was like, oh, she just talks to them. She just says, oh, here's my cat. Here's my writing desk, you know, and then here's my new book.
Yeah.
So you could start with that. And I think changing your tribe is a really, really good beginner step because your brain naturally goes, okay, how do I fit in with these people? Mm-hmm. Just like with me and yoga. If I want to be a runner, I would join a group of people who are crazy and running.
That's true. True story.
And then I'm here with you eating chocolate.
I got no chocolate.
I'm at the spot.
Yes.
So I think those baby steps is seeking out the tribe. It's so much easier to get the tribe than it ever was before. And taking notes about what you could see yourself implementing. And starting with that mailing list is important, writing your first book, grabbing help, you know, you might not be able to afford it, but you could barter. You can do some swaps. I have some of my best like editors or helpers are beta readers. They're other authors. We both write similar books. We just swap our books. There's no money involved. And it's actually a lot of fun. I actually co-write with a lot of people because I have so much fun collaborating and I get stuck and I go, Renee, what do I do? And I send the book to her and she fixes it. That's like, yes, this is all the fun parts of writing. And it's phone a friend.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, that's awesome. Surrounding yourself with the people that are on the same journey as you is awesome. Like that's a great place to start. I think that's awesome advice. And so you said a little bit of it this show, and I'm just curious about finishing off that question is, if you're at zero or if you're at the beginning and you see $1 million as like this far away thing, how do you kind of keep the mindset of I'm going to earn $1 million when it doesn't look like you're going to?
Right. That was the actual question. I was trying to remember. I went,
there were lots of questions. I just
was like, that, question asked me on my part.
Well, I was going to point out that not everyone wants to earn $1 million. Like,
yeah,
it's actually not necessary. Or like in my life, it's certainly not necessary. I don't live in a fancy town. Like, I can live pretty well with a family on, you know, way less than $100,000 a year. So you get to pick whatever goal you want, whatever feels good. And I think that's part of the reason I was so excited when my books first went up on Amazon. It was just a step forward. I really just wanted to be able to work in my pajamas with my computer at home with my chocolate. So you get to set that goal, and then you get to look for people who are doing that.
Yeah.
And I didn't start saying, I'm going to make $1 million a year. I started going, oh my God, self-publishing is so cool. This is possible. And I find the self-publishing community is pretty open. Like, a lot of people are like, and I made $1 million. So I probably was just in the ether a little bit, and I was seeing it going. And then what's great, my biggest piece of advice, that boilerplate, they're like, what's one piece of advice? I'm like, I have a good one. For a new person, new author, whatever, read a bad book. And bad is in the eyes of the beholder. Like, it could be one of my books that you think is bad. And you'll be like, what? This gets published? She makes $1 million a year? Are you kidding me? I'm going to make $500 million a year. So reading a good book is inspiring. But again, you're reading that final polished product. And that's not where we start. That's not where they started. Yeah. So when you sit down with that blank page, it's actually more motivating. And you're going, I can do so much better than that tripe.
Yeah. So, we've all read those books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can do it. I can do it too, kind of thing.
A bad book. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Good start.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is good advice.
The only way is up.
Yeah.
So I love going and reading the bad reviews on books that I love also. Like, it's kind of like, I'm like, how can you not love this book? Why have you given it a 1 star? And it makes me feel better on that end too.
And people do that in like Beach Vacation Paradise. It's the beautiful resort, and they're like, too much sand on the beach.
My favorite is Stonehenge. Not enough stone.
Not impressed. 1 star. Like, what?
So is there, like, do you have to keep reminding yourself on this journey, like as you know, you said you sort of started out and got excited about publishing first, and then you got excited about making 100k, and then excited about making $1 million. Is there like, were there points along the way you went, oh, I can't do this, and how do you change that around? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so I, speaking of reviews, one thing my dad taught me, he said you need a kudos file. He learned that from his work, where you just keep all the positive stuff. For him, it would be like positive things his bosses or his colleagues told them. For me, I started with a few things that my teachers had said about my writing ability, and I made the rest up. I put in like, this is the best book ever, you know, 5 stars. I didn't have any reviews. I didn't write any books yet. And I started by making up the nice things that I hope people would say. Now, I, like just today, screenshotted some people in the group who are like, I just read this book, I fell in love with the couple or whatever. And I save those. I don't necessarily go and read my reviews on Amazon. I've done this with friends where we'll swap. I'll go to her book, find all the best reviews. Sometimes they're 5 stars. Sometimes it's just really sweet things that people have said, even if they don't give it 5 stars. And she'll do the same for me. And then I just keep them in a file. So that is a way of actually building evidence that you're awesome and you keep going. And we all have this need for feedback. I think that's why people sometimes do read their reviews. For me, if I read all my reviews, you know, the negatives stick in your head. Again, your brain wants to keep you alive. Yeah. It's going to pay attention to the danger, like 100 million times more than to the positive, the nice, beautiful, like all these wildflowers, but there's one snake in the grass. It's going to pay attention to the snake to keep you alive. The issue is on Amazon, it's all these positive reviews. And then there's the one-star review, too much sand. I saw one on Little Woman, too many women. I don't like these women. So you don't want to get that in your head when you sit down with the blank page going, okay, I can't put women in. They don't like all the women. Like, you have to write your, what you want to write and bring your muse to it and be happy and playful. And I can't really do that when I have like that one negative review in my head. So make a kudos file. So you're building evidence of your positive stuff and that you can keep going. The other thing is gratitude. We're all on the way to whatever sum of money a year you want. You're going to have these ups and downs. And the fun thing, ups are fun, right? And then everyone's like, well, what about the downs? Well, the fun thing about the downs is you have to think, like I had a friend who's like making like $200,000 a month, like an insane amount of money. And they were like, oh no, this month it's only like 150,000. And I'm like, people make that in like a decade. What are you talking about? Like, like, where were you 5 years ago? And they're like, oh, right. So I think gratitude comes from looking back. And that's why I've mentioned that first month on Amazon, being so grateful to just have my books live and they exist. And I put them out there. They're my baby. The covers were awful. Like, like once deserved one-star reviews. My dad read one, gave me 2 stars. Like,
it's totally. Oh, no.
So, and it probably only was worth 2 stars. Like, it really was kind of a mess. But I was published and I was so grateful. And I think that gratitude can carry you. So look at your lows and all that disappointment. The worst thing that can happen typically is that we're disappointed in ourselves. And that's just an emotion.
Yeah.
So what if you had a low and you just weren't disappointed? You were grateful. You're like, wow, my low is so much higher than 5 years ago. Or maybe it's 0 and 0. And you're just like, I can't believe I'm proud of myself for just taking a step forward. I'm proud of myself for listening to this podcast and believing a little bit more that it's possible. And I'm going to read one of Lee Savino's books and it's going to be so bad. I'm going to give it 2 stars. And I'm going to write something better. Like, that works too.
No. Don't give her any 2 stars.
Yeah, my books are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you better read them. I started writing romance. I wrote romance for a publisher in 2015 and I got pregnant like the month it was published. So you got to read my books with like protection.
Brilliant.
I love it.
Oh, that's funny. Watch out.
Yeah. We watch out for
morning. We're babies. Oh god.
Very sexy. My dad has not read those books.
No.
I'm like, do not.
No, you're not allowed to go there.
What else have you changed about? So gratitude is an awesome thing, right? Finding the gratitude in wherever you are. And I'm a big believer in that. I think you can be grateful even if you can find things that are good wherever you are. What other mindset things do you work on? Like, how do you kind of keep it? How do you keep it?
So there's another brain thing. This is really fun. Again, it is just the way our brains work, okay? And your brain is trying to keep you alive. Your brain has, you have always had your back. That's something to remember about yourself, pat yourself on the back. That's pretty cool. If your brain thinks that money is scary, if it's somewhere in your subconscious, you have linked having more money, having a stable job or income or whatever to something bad, like maybe your parents fought over money, so you just don't even want to hang on to it, or you never want to spend it. I don't know. Your brain's just trying to keep you safe, and it can hold on to those things. So with the work I do with Renee Rose and the Abundance Membership, we really talk about those money blocks, because the reality is we can have whatever we want. In fact, we quite often do have whatever we want. I have this chocolate here. I have a computer. If I have to go to the bathroom, like, we have indoor plumbing. This is pretty incredible, right? Some of that we have because of our culture. Again, the tribe we're in. And sometimes it's like, I want a Starbucks coffee and I know I can just go get one. And there's no block. There's nothing stopping me. So we just have to remove the block. This is really random, but it's kind of fun. Print out your bank statement or cut paste it into a document. Like, you can just copy the website page and change the numbers and make them bigger. Add zeros, move the decimal point, just look at these big numbers. So I did this and then I had like $8 in my bank account, and I just put a little comma and then add like 8,000. And what's fun is that all the numbers might be different. So the, and whenever it was a debit, you know, I would add zeros, and whenever it was something getting, sorry, I had kids and I can't think of words anymore. There's debit and credit. An extraction when something is taken from the bank account.
Yeah.
Dividend. That's a debit.
Yeah. Oh, that is the debit. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, obviously I wasn't meant to be a banker. Whenever there's a minus sign, put a plus and then add more zeros to that. Okay.
Nice.
It's really dumb and really silly, and it really works because those numbers are in my bank account now, because I normalized it. It wasn't scary for me to see $30,000 in an account when I had made for 10 years in a row, fighting really hard to make more money at my job, like changing careers, figuring it out. And I made like $30,000 a year as a set point for a decade. So I had to release that. And like, it was like the safe set point for me. It was like a thermostat. And my brain's like, you can't make, if you make more this year, you're going to make less this year. It was like an average of $30,000 a year. So I changed it. And I think that that's one of the ways I changed it, is I just normalized those numbers.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot. Yeah. It doesn't, if you leave the bank statement out, your husband's going to be like, what is this? Because mine was. And I was like, it's an experiment. And you know what? He doesn't think anything of it now. So try it. Just see. Yeah.
And it's,
sorry.
No, you go.
Okay. I took books and I have some downstairs. And they happen to be, I can get you the picture of it. I don't have them anymore, but, obviously I had no books published, but I put fake covers on books of other people's books. And I put Lee Savino on the spine. Yeah. And so I made like my dream, you know, people have dream boards. I made my dream bookshelf. And what was awesome. Interesting is that all those covers were black. It was a series that they all had black covers. I thought it was cool. And now look at like all my black covers, like subconsciously.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. So it can be a little uncanny how it works, but that's another thing to try. If you haven't published anything yet, you want to imagine it, get some other, some Little
whatever
Women.
Works. Whatever. Your name was-
And it's so much more tangible than like a vision board, you know, like it's the actual, I don't know, it just, it brings it more into the real world kind of thing than pictures on a board. You know?
It is something tangible. We used to do that for selling magazines into new customers, and you take the made up magazine into them, and they would sit there stroking the magazine as if it was already real, and we would get more clients because of it. And so it's the same thing, like sit there with your real books and like this becomes more real to you.
It's pretty painless to try, so it's not going to freak your brain out. You might think it's a little weird, you might be like, well, this is dumb, but it's like playing dress up, I guess. You know, when we were little, we played dress up. We used our imagination, and that's all you're doing in this case. My son just is 6. He's going to kindergarten. And before first day of kindergarten, with all the chaos, we took him to the school like months before. He played on the playground. He met kids. He played on the playground. Actually, we live right by the school, so we did it a lot. And then, of course, there was the first look, once again, my brain's like, the word's right there. It's not there. but we had an open house and we took him into the classroom and he's like, Mom, there are no toys. So we had to explain a little bit what school was versus like preschool and daycare. And you know, we said, we're going to learn to read and let's get you some books. And we got his backpack and he practiced going to kindergarten. And that was all to make his first day of kindergarten really easy. And so he'd be calmer. And really it was just so his subconscious mind didn't freak out going, my parents are going to leave me in this strange building, right?
All day.
Right. Yeah. That's scary. Yeah. And you know what? He probably still was a little scared. You know, it was still a little nerve wracking and that's okay.
But he would have been a lot less scared than if it had been him going in there for the very first time ever. You know what I mean? Mm. And I guess that's what you're saying with our brains. It's like, if we go into this thinking that it's okay to earn lots more money than we ever have, then maybe we'll acclimatize, right. I guess.
Right. So how can you do this? Right now, I want to hit the Wall Street Journal. So I've printed out little graphics and I've stuck my book on it and the little Wall Street Journal logo. And number one on Amazon. Whenever I see someone going number one on Amazon, Colleen Hoover, I'm just like, I'll just replace all of Colleen Hoover. Sorry. Your awesome book with my book covers. Yeah. So normalizing it, practicing it. Now, is that the only thing I'm going to do to have a book hit number one? No, I'm probably going to keep writing and like keep going. But it does help and it makes it comfortable and familiar. And our brains love comfortable and familiar because it wants to keep us alive. That means the space needs to be safe. If it's new, our brains freak out a little. They're like, I don't know if someone's about to jump out and kill us. I don't know if there's a snake in the grass. It might not just be wildflowers. So if you can calm it down a little bit, get there. Yeah.
And also that changes the things that you will do, right? Like if you are constantly thinking about Wall Street Journal, you know that it's possible, then you, instead of sitting back and going, oh, maybe I won't apply for that book club because I probably won't get it, you go out and apply for it, right?
You just do it, right? Yeah. And you're like, well, maybe, maybe not. And this comes up in so many different ways. There was an Apple Books promotion and my first instinct was just, delete the email. I'm probably not going to get it. And then I was like, why are you doing this? I just put some of my books wide and I want to be successful wide and grow an audience. And why not? And I had to get 25 reviews. And someone's like, well, it's very difficult to get that many reviews. Like there's lots of ratings, but not that many reviews. And I was like, well, I gave away like 5,000 copies of that dang book to just like get 25 people to just review it. Then I got these really great reviews and I'm like, I should like try to sell this book more. Like this is great. Then I was like, well, I've done all this work. Why don't I apply for a book club? And I got the book club. I don't think I got the Apple promotion, but it was a good lesson in believing in yourself and believing in your book. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you're like, but what's cool is the next time, the reason I'm telling you is that was a year ago. I just got an email again. That was like, oh, apply for this promotion. And now I know the drill and it's habit. And guess what? I'm more likely to get the actual promotion if I apply for it than if I delete the email.
Yeah. 100%.
Right?
This mindset, Lee, is it something that you kind of went in right from the start of your self-publishing career with, or is it something that you've developed over time? Has it?
I think I've always been into mindset stuff. I had to figure it out because I was like, but I'm failing at life. because a big part of it was I told myself it was not possible. I put up this huge block. Like, it is not possible for you to be a writer or an author. You should just give up, completely give up, no more. And that was very sad. That was actually kind of the worst thing I've ever done to myself and ever that's ever happened to me. And it was so unnecessary because you can always say like, yes, like give yourself a little yes. Like, maybe you don't think you can be a best-selling author or whatever, but you can write the next page in your book. Like just let yourself do a little bit. Okay. But I slammed the door shut until I was in a position where I was like, excuse me. I had made $30,000 a year for a long time and I had switched careers into a very like financial sales, like lucrative. and because I really believed in what I was doing, even though I obviously don't know what debits are in banks. But I made like 60,000 one year, and then the next year just like, and I went to a hypnotherapist who I'd met at a business event. And even though my parents went to Bible college and have always told me like hypnotherapy is demons, demonic, like you don't do it. And I was like, this is just brain stuff. Let's do it. So he puts me in a meditative state and just says all these positive things about me being able to reach my goals. I walk out of there and he's like, you know, you talk about wanting to write books. Why don't you just do that? And I was like, sure. Walk out. He removed that dang block. Like he just released the brakes and it was downhill from there. I even told my husband, like, I'm quitting my job. I'm going to be an author. Did I know I could make money at it? No. Did I know? But I was like, I'm just going to self-publish and see what happens. And so I'm actually the mindset abundance membership. I know I got the name wrong. Sorry. I even get it mixed up. Abundance author membership. With Renee, we do a lot of meditations. It's not quite hypnotherapy, but it's close to it. And you can listen to the meditations over and over. And the reason we do that is because we want to not just talk to you and your logic brain, but get down into the subconscious where a lot of this blocks reside. A lot of the, that's why I'm giving you all these like silly little tips and hacks and change the numbers in your bank account. I'm trying to get around the fear response in your subconscious. Because that's what's really stopping you. The reason I can walk down the street and get a Starbucks is I'm not afraid. Like there's no block there. Like it's easy. The reason I'm not number one Wall Street Journal is fear of being seen, not, you know, telling myself my books aren't good enough. So I didn't apply for the Apple book promotion, although now I did. So I'm probably on my way. And it's all about like realizing where you're at, removing the blocks and then also learning from the people around you, like how to move forward a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's important to point out that you're still like with the Apple box, you're still overcoming those blocks. Like they're still popping up. It's not like you're this perfectly, you know, with a halo, although you are perfect with a halo, but you know, it's like, it's still a learning process.
Right. That's why I said Michael Connelly is like still figuring it out with his bad reviews and stuff. And like, he has several TV shows and I just have this like, fake thing I got on Amazon.
I love that.
It's like, take one, you know, it's Lee's books getting turned into movies or a show. And we're all on the spectrum somewhere, but look where I started. Like, it doesn't matter that I don't have like a TV show yet. I'm so, when I look back, I have such opportunity to be grateful. And I need to get this written out on a board because I don't have a pen around me, but you are here and you look at where you want to go and you're like, that's so far away. But then you look where you started and it's, you know, like miles behind you. And that's where the gratitude is. You're like, oh, okay. If I can be grateful for that, that's my foundation. And then I realize it's actually probably way more in reach than I thought it was. And even if it isn't, the next rung on the ladder is in reach. So I'm going to apply for the Apple book promotion and realize that this is a little block that I've allowed and I don't have to, I could keep it or I could just be like, whenever I get an invitation from Apple Books to apply for this special promotion, I'm just going to apply without thinking. Whenever I get a BookBub rejection, my goal is to be rejected by BookBub 52 times a year. Like treat yourself when you get a rejection, be like, yeah, drinks on me. I got rejected. Apply again.
Yeah.
Like, why not? It's a useful tool. It's a tactic. But again, the mindset block would stop you from even doing that step. So
yeah, it comes down to think we also let not having the money be our block. You know, like I'm not going to spend money on BookBub because I don't have that money. You know what I mean? I think there's the blocks inside the blocks to a degree, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And we all have different blocks too. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So we get into a lot of that in the abundance membership because it's complicated and, you know, our brains make all sorts of associations. Like my parents fought about money and So I make a lot of money, but I never spend it. And your parents thought about money. So you never make any money and you spend it all at once, like complete opposite, but it came from the same, you know, family even. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like your brain is trying to keep you safe. Your brain is trying to keep you alive. So everything else you can figure out.
Yeah.
And you can be like, it's okay, brain. I know it's your first day at kindergarten, but making $1 million is going to be awesome. Making $50 from your books is going to be awesome. Like, let's even start there. And putting your books up, getting your first 1-star review is actually awesome because you've done it. And it's not scary. It's not a snake in the grass. It's just a review. You're going to live. The only thing that might stop you, that might hurt, is the disappointment. So can you let the disappointment go? Or can you just be like, well, I'll be disappointed and then I'll get over it. Because I'm going to get a lot more 1-star reviews in my career, just like Michael Connelly.
Just like
the poor author of Little Women, Louisa May Alcott.
I guess Pride and Prejudice is the same. They've got a lot of 1-star reviews.
How is that possible?
I know. It's one of the best books I've ever read. And there are so many remakes of Pride and Prejudice, and I love them all. There's a new remake with gay Asian men. And I'm like, this is the best thing on television right now. Fire Island.
Oh, really? It's Fire so Island. Good.
Right. Rated R. But I love that. So I just can't watch it with, I have to like hide to watch things that I want to watch nowadays. So
The censor rating. Yeah. Oh, no.
Do you have do you have like a mantra, or do you have anything when you, if you feel yourself spiraling, do you get up every day and say, blah, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make this, I'm going to do this, or is it just now it's just natural to you?
For me, writing lists and goals, that is helpful and it works for me. And even writing stuff down that I don't quite believe, like I'm going to finish this book tomorrow. I'm not going to finish it tomorrow. Right. Yeah. It's just going to take another month.
Yeah.
But it seems a little ridiculous, but actually that works for me. It might not work for you, which is why I was like, you know, do you even want the million? Like, what do you actually want? Because that is probably right there in reach. Like a lot of people want to be number one on New York Times. But what they really want is to make a nice living from their books. And you could do one and not the other. And there are New York Times number one bestselling authors who don't make a living. And, you know, there's me who hasn't hit New York Times at all. And I'm doing good.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of it is parsing out. Like I was told to go to college and get a job. I didn't have to do any of those things to actually have what I want. So, and I do want to say that you do not need a writing degree. Mm. Just go write. Just write.
It's interesting what you're saying about the, because there's also a thing of maybe looking at the goals that you think you should have. Like my goal should be to get on the top of the New York Times bestseller list because that's where all the good authors are. But actually maybe it's to make a living. Like, does it, and you can kind of let go of that, almost the status symbol of being at top of a list and go further, have the awesome life with the money that allows me to do the things I want to do. Like maybe thinking about that, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I did set that goal to make a million. And I think, some of it's to prove it to myself. It really was. Also, I wanted my husband to be able to work for me and not have a job. So replace his income. And there are little things, tangible things that I can think about that I'd want to do, you know, provide a good life for my kids and help my mom and stuff like that. But the reality is this month, I actually even have it on my calendar. It says yoga month. Like I want to get in shape, y'all. I don't want to be creaky and like my wrists have been hurting. I'm like, you just focus on your body. What is the point of all this money if you're hurting? Yeah. And so I'm not writing a lot this month. I am doing yoga and Wall Street Journal. Sure. Like, I don't know if it's actually a huge, it seems like another thing to do. But the reality is, if I never hit the Wall Street Journal, I'm not going to quit writing. Like I'm still going to be a storyteller. Yeah. It actually doesn't change who I am. It doesn't make me less of a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's gives a little you, bit of that.
Gives there. You somewhere to go, though, I guess. Is that the like somewhere to yeah. aim for?
And I like goals and aiming for things. The reality is, I think lately, tracking my launches, especially with Renee Rose, and we just took our books wide like a year ago. Like she took her entire catalog out of KU after being in KU for years. We were so we're learning that we have more translations. And I've tracked and run the ads for our launches on our books, and they're just so they are so popular. Like there are one of our co-written books is our her most popular book and my most popular book in our entire catalog of like hundreds of books, that book sells the most. And that's something to pay attention to. When you track numbers, you just start to see those trends. So it is nice to like run up and ring the bell because you're like, this might be possible. And we've hit the USA Today a few times because I tracked the launch on book one. And then I saw book two was getting all these pre-orders and I'm like, wait, we've been in a bunch of box sets that try to hit the USA Today. And that was almost like training wheels. And it, we learned about how many numbers you need. You release on a Tuesday. We learned all the tactics, but we also did it over and over. And then we were able to do it with our books. And then we did it again. And then last launch, we did it with two books, the one that was brand new and the one that got a book bub magically that week. Like, could you even orchestrate that? No. But we put ourselves in the position. We wrote the books. Then we wrote more. We have like 17 of these books now. We got covers to market. Like, they're really excellent covers. The books look very almost trad pub. And we run ads. We've taken ads courses. We've run small ads. We probably wasted money. And then we learned how to track the launches. And I've worked with Nick Erics on launches and courses and stuff. And then I tracked the launches on book one. And then went, wait a minute, book two has enough pre-orders that if we release on a Tuesday, we have a good chance of getting enough sales to hit USA Today. And those are all the tactics, but there's so much belief behind it. And 6, 7, 8 years of a career.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh. And we did it. So yeah, it is fun to reach up and ring the bell. You know, I think sometimes even new authors listening to this podcast might think, well, I'm going to be like E.L. James and I'll write one book and I'll make $150 million. And I would love that to happen. I would love that to happen. I'm not saying no to that, but what I'm doing is also really, really fun. Like I have a lot of books. I get to tell all these stories. I really love it. And if you can be confident in who you are and your identity, you're not, even though I struggle, like, are my books good enough? Am I a good enough writer? I struggle with that all the time. Even just sitting down a writing sprint, like these words suck. Why? But then I open my kudos file and I read some of these people who tell me, I want to say thank you for your books. I am in chemo. And the lady who introduced me to romance novels didn't make it. And I am reaching out to all the authors that helped us give us some beauty in the middle of pain. And I go, okay, I can definitely keep writing the story about werewolves and their fated mates. Like, this is worth doing.
Having it matter, I think, is a really important positive approach for yourself, you know, having your work matter and then seeing where it can take you, because you don't have to, like you say, reach for the stars. You can reach for that next rung on the ladder.
Yeah, I do believe, though, that as humans, like we're souls that we came to Earth to experience life and to continually grow and expand and have new experiences. So my son was a baby not so long ago and now he's in kindergarten. He's not meant to stay in the cradle. He's meant to grow and run and then drive away from me. And it's going to be happen. And I can't wait. And it also will come too soon. Right.
Yeah.
Depending on how stressed I am about tripping over his shoes in the hall.
Yeah.
So I think yeah, having some little goals like Wall Street Journal and stuff. But Renee and I have talked pretty candidly, even on the call, that our author goals really don't even feel that important to us as much as they were. And we're starting to expand and figure out what's different. I've actually might take a course to learn to become a hypnotherapist because it really helped me. And I was like, well, I could just do all these hypnotherapy meditations. It might help some people and just put them out there. And I'm in a point where I don't necessarily need to make money from it. So that's cool. And even if I was, I'm a Capricorn, I'd probably turn into another business. but yeah, growing and expanding. And you might be listening to this going, well, I don't think I want to make a million. I think it's cool. I think I want to write short stories. I don't know if I want to write full novels. I don't want to write romance. I might want to write poetry. And you're going to figure it out, and that's okay. But just allow yourself to figure it out. Just say yes to it. Whatever it is, don't tell yourself it's not possible. Mm-hmm. Just tell yourself, hey, it might be possible. Let me just see if I can find some people. Yeah. It would have been something a little bit close to what I want to do, mm-hmm. and go and learn from them and go visit mm-hmm. the kindergarten school and yeah. and just take those little steps.
The little steps. Oh, that's right, awesome. Advice. That's awesome great place advice. To. Yeah. So I'm going to, you already gave us your goal earlier, but I'm going to ask the question anyway, like what's some kind of a piece of advice that you really want people to kind of take away, as well as the little steps and continually growing? What's the something that you think is vital for people, writers, authors?
So it's all, the mindset thing is all about believing in yourself. And even the thing I said where you're like, go read a bad book, that's just to get you to believe in yourself, to believe that you could do something because you could be better than the tripe that you just read. So whatever way, whatever trick or tip you can get to help you believe in yourself more, like go try it. Like, please say yes to yourself. Remember that your brain has your back, wants to keep you alive. Just return the favor.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know you're reaching for this, and I'm just going to figure out how to support you in the tiniest little way. And that's really all you need. Reading this book, and my friend was just gushing about it, and it's called Emergence. And he talks about, you're actually perfect. You don't need anything. You do not need to be an author. You don't need $1 million. You do not need to hit the USA Today or Wall Street Journal. You're an acorn and all your potential is there, or you're a sapling and all the potential is there. Just one, stop doubting yourself and hating on yourself. Just nourish yourself wherever it is. Because the acorn isn't meant to leap to being a tree. My son isn't meant to leap from kindergarten to college. He's meant to grow on a continuum, and so are you. But you are perfect as you are. And I really do believe that. I believe our souls are spiritually whole and perfect as we are. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. And yes, we've all made mistakes bumbling around on this earth. But if you can realize the essence of you, the core of you is perfect, and then grow, and then it turns into fun. You're just having fun. You're just watching out for werewolves and like putting like covers on other people's books to pretend and then maybe opening your Word document and playing with your stories and seeing what happens. And maybe you never publish them, or maybe you do, and someone who has cancer emails you, and that's amazing too. Yeah. And you don't have to make the million. You don't even have to be published. It's all okay. You're already perfect. You don't need to fix yourself. You just need to let yourself be.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. That's
awesome. Yeah. Oh, I feel so much better.
Yeah, I'll take some water, eat some chocolate. It's okay.
I'm getting my bank.
Now I'm going to hypnotize everybody to believe in themselves.
I'm signing up for the hypnotism. Just bring it on.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to find you, Lee, where is the best place to go to?
Please join Millionaire Author Mastermind. There's some questions in the beginning. You just answer them, and it asks you to be positive, basically. It's meant to just be positive. And if you have problems, if you're struggling with Amazon or something, just present it in a positive way. It also has authors. They're in all different levels. There definitely are beginners in there, but it's less of a place to find answers to beginner questions and more a place to ask about, you know, really, really making the money. But it's cool because you can hang out and you can see the people who are saying, I just had my best month on Amazon. I'm just getting my German translations up, and you can see what's possible. So please join if you're, if you want to like talk about money and books.
Okay, awesome. If you want to read any of your books, obviously you're going to go to leesahino.com.
And yeah, leesahino.com.
Yeah. The Berserkers and the Alpha Werewolves with Renee. And
yep.
I'm going to have to get you back on because I wanted to talk to you all about collaboration, and we wanted to talk to you about advertising. We wanted to talk about
we'll do that next time, definitely.
But you have to get the foundation first. So that was the mindset. And then we can talk about tactics.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's cool. So thank you so much for joining us today. Sorry, now I'm getting names wrong. Lee. we've really enjoyed it. It's been really, really awesome. So where can we be found, Shah?
Found at spargirlspodcast.com. And if you want to join a positive community, we're going to make sure the links to Lee's groups and Renee's group and Lee's website, but also our group, which you can access through patreon.com/spargirlspodcast.
Brilliant.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Spa Girls podcast. We've enjoyed your company for today. Thank you, Lee, again. And we will see you all again next time. Farewell.
Bye. Thank you.